8, and we are here for a work session on House Bill 5014, Department of Education Operations and Grant and Aid, called the committee into work session on the bill. Ms. McGlashan, could you please take up where you left off yesterday?
Madam Chair, I can't recall if we finished going through all the recommended bill amendments. I know we got through page 8, so I'm just going to repeat on the top of page 9. The recommended bill amendments would include establishing two special purpose appropriations, one to the emergency board for EIECSE caseload increases, and that's a $6.5 million special purpose appropriation, and then a $1.3 million special purpose appropriation to the emergency board for the student assessment program.
Chair would accept a motion to approve the bill amendments and LFO recommendations as contained in a memo dated August 7, 2003, relating to House Bill 5014.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Have a motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection? Without objection, the motion is carried. Let's continue on with performance measures.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, LFO recommends that you adopt the agency's performance measures as presented, with direction to the agency to work with the Performance Measure Review Committee on any additional measures that may be needed as a result of the agency's reorganization. The performance measure reviewers also noted some of the basic performance measure criteria to be somewhat lacking, and so LFO also recommends that the agency be directed to work with that committee on ensuring that their performance measures have all the necessary or meet all the necessary basic criteria for performance measures.
Questions or comments on performance measures? Please proceed.
The next section, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, is the ending balance review. This agency has a variety of ending balances. With the federal funds, obviously, those are restricted as to their use. There are some trust-type funds, and those would also be restricted. With the agency's operational reserves, most of them represent approximately 1.5 to 3 months' worth of operating expenditures, and LFO recommends the agency be able to retain these funds for cash flow purposes.
Questions or comments on the ending balance? Please proceed.
The next section, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, are the budget notes. There are 5 listed there, and then we do have an additional one that's not in the memo. The first one pertains to the assessment program, and this would direct the department to work with the Legislative Fiscal Office and the Budget and Management Division over at DAS to develop a plan that implements the most cost-effective assessment program for requirements under NCLB. And the plan shall include a cost-benefit of analysis of the department's in-house assessment program versus contracting it out. The department would report to the emergency board no later than January 2004, and at that time the agency could request all or part of the $1.3 million special purpose appropriation that's established.
Are we actually at a $1 million special purpose appropriation?
Madam Chair, I believe that's an old version. If you turn back to page 2...
On the new one?
Maybe I've got the old version.
Well, the appropriation to the emergency board, or?
You're correct, Madam Chair. It is $1 million. I'm sorry. I've got the old version in front of me.
What's that again?
It is a $1 million appropriation to the EVO.
Special?
The correct version.
Yeah,
that's what it says.
Yeah.
She has an old version.
An older than yesterday?
She said 1.3.
Oh, okay.
It should be one. It should be one.
I
apologize. So actually, Madam Chair, we'll need to go back to the motion and amend that, because I had talked about establishing the $1.3 million special purpose appropriation.
But I do believe that the motion reflected the recommendations that were in the August 7th version of the memo.
Correct, Madam Chair. My only concern is I specifically mentioned the $1.3 million as establishing that as a special purpose appropriation.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Amendments that you adopted.
What's the date on your memo?
It's also August 7th, but Madam Chair, there were changes made.
Chair would accept a motion to clarify that the special purpose appropriation to the Emergency Board for the Student Assessment Program is $1
million. So moved.
The motion's been made. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection. Motion is carried.
And then, Madam Chair, it would also establish the $300,000 special purpose appropriation to the Emergency Board for the department's operations.
I would accept another motion to establish a $300,000 special purpose appropriation to the Emergency Board for the department's operations pending a report on its reorganization plan.
So moved.
Motion's on the table. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, the motion is carried.
And then, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, to continue with the budget notes, the next one is on the EIES-ECSE program, and this would simply direct the department to report to the Emergency Board no later than April 2004 on the status of that program, including caseload changes and also any additional federal funding that may be available for the program. And at that time of reporting, the department may request all or part of the $6.5 million special purpose appropriation for the program if needed.
And this is the same budget note that was in the budget in the previous biennium?
That's correct.
Let's go through these and then we'll talk about them.
Okay. The next one is on maintenance of effort. The Department of Education shall work with the Legislative Fiscal Office and the Department of Administrative Services Budget and Management Division regarding the department's compliance with federal maintenance of effort requirements in special education and provide a status report to the Emergency Board by January 2004.
Okay.
The next budget note is on federal funds reporting, and the Department of Administrative Services is requested to unschedule $50 million federal funds expenditure limitation for grant and aid programs pending submission of an allocation plan by the Department of Education to the Emergency Board after adoption of the federal fiscal year 2004 budget for the federal funds expected to be received for the 03-05 biennium. And the budget notes goes on to specify what the allocation plan shall include.
Then we have another budget
and finally,
on reorganization.
Madam Chair, members of the committee on the reorganization, the Department of Education shall report to the Emergency Board by March 2004 and by November 2004 on the results of its reorganization plan, including but not limited to office structure, staffing distribution, focus of work, any new and or revised performance measures, accountability tools, distribution of the agency's budget under the reorganized model, and the agency's updated strategic plan. And at that time of reporting, the department may request all or part of the $300,000 special purpose appropriation established for it in the bill.
And then we also have a conceptual budget note.
And then finally, Madam Chair, we do, and it you should all have a copy of it. It's rather lengthy. I don't know if you want me to read the whole thing into
the Senator Gordley, this is your budget note. Would you feel comfortable recapping it for the members of the committee?
Yes, I will. First of all, I want to commend Superintendent Castillo, Deputy Superintendent Pat Burke, for their leadership in developing the superintendent's initiative to close the achievement gap. I believe that Oregon students will be much better served under these initiatives, which go to the heart of what we must do to close the achievement gap, which is also a teaching gap, and they are also efforts which support the mandates under No Child Left Behind. The superintendent has made it clear that our work should ensure that each student meets or exceeds grade level benchmarks in reading, in mathematics, in writing, and science, regardless as to race, ethnicity, gender, primary language, disability, or socioeconomic status. And next week, when the department releases the list of schools in our state that need help, our work, the state's work, and these efforts will be seen as all the more important. In that regard, I believe that the department is providing the quality of leadership that is aggressive and progressive, and in fact, I think it's the best leadership that we've ever had that will move our state forward. And I think that what is required now is that the legislature step up and match the superintendent's and the department's commitment. And our stepping up means, in my mind, that we step up and provide the revenue that is required if we are truly going to not leave any child behind, and if we are going to invest in the already legislatively approved quality education model. With that said, the budget notes that you have before you speak to what we must do if we are to better serve the needs of our low-income students, many of whom are poor white, our low-income students, some of whom are minority, and they speak to the changes in demographics in our state, which are dramatic, that require a different quality of professionalism if we are to meet the needs of all of our students. So what you see laid out before you in these four paragraphs that make up the budget note are the following, and I will read these into the record, Madam Chair. As required in reporting to the Oregon Legislature, the Oregon Department of Education will report on progress toward the following and or its ability to make such progress in light of resource constraints. If resource constraints limit the department's ability to make progress, the department shall identify the additional resources that would be needed to ensure greater progress. And that speaks to the following four areas. One, the department will report on the status of cultural competency of education staff. The report shall include the status of coordination with the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission and the higher education system in defining proficiencies for teachers and administrators for demonstrating cultural competence, incorporating training into teacher pre-service programs, and establishing regional training cadres. Secondly, the department will report on progress in requiring alignment of school district priorities for student achievement and professional development investments as intended by the No Child Left Behind Act, and monitoring compliance within consolidated subgrant applications of federal requirements for staff participation in the development of Title IIA professional development programs. Thirdly, the department will report on the status of recruitment, training, and retention of a culturally diverse workforce, including consideration of a long-range plan for diversification of the Oregon education workforce in partnership with universities, the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, the Oregon Education Association, and school district human resource directors. The plan will include review of an Oregon teacher incentive program to offer financial incentives and tuition reimbursement to underrepresented teachers who work in high-need Oregon schools, and the Oregon Teacher Mentor Program to focus support for an induction program targeted to retaining new minority teachers. And then finally, Madam Chair, the department shall report on the status of ensuring accountability for implementation of civil rights laws and regulations related to student and family rights, including the design and deployment of a self-assessment tool for school districts to evaluate the degree of compliance with current civil rights statutes and other applicable laws, and incorporate this into the annual assurance documentation submitted to the Oregon Department of Education. The department shall also report on its investigation of complaints regarding civil rights violations. Again, Madam Chair and members of the committee, these are reports that would be required to bring back to the next legislative assembly. I believe that these this budget note supports and enhances the work of the department around the No Child Left Behind mandates. And I would also like to express thanks to Deputy Director Patrick Burke and to Steve Novick for their assistance in crafting the language, which is consensus language. I would like to also thank the co-chairs for supporting these, the language and concept. And I also appreciate very much the chair's support in developing the budget notes as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there further discussion on any of the budget notes? Representative Smith.
Regarding number four, the department, including the design and development of this tool, and then incorporated into the annual assurance document, I'm concerned that this is yet maybe a mandate on the department coming at a time when the department is going under reorganization, doesn't have a lot of people available to do extra things, not only on the things that past legislatures and this legislature have said, whereas, you know, this may be good. There's a lot of things that are good in our society to do. I'm concerned this is just an added workload. And what is it going to do for us? If they find that somebody is in violation of civil rights law, which I tend to question, I would doubt, because I think school districts are very mindful of those type of situations. You know, what's this going to do?
I think your comments are noted in the record, and I think that the department will be mindful of the amount of department time that will take them to comply with this.
I don't mean to seem insensitive at all to Senator Gordley's request for this. And this budget note is lengthy. Maybe we can hear from the department. How are they going to implement this? What is it going to cost? How much time is it going to take? Has the department seen this budget note?
Madam Chair,
Senator Gordon.
Thank you. As I stated in my remarks, not only has the department seen the budget note, they worked with me in developing and writing the budget note. And I would just take you back, Representative Smith, to the statement in the first paragraph of the note, which says that if resource constraints limit the department's ability to make progress, the department shall identify the additional resources that would be needed to ensure greater progress. That statement refers to the reporting that we're looking for, the reporting and accountability under civil rights laws, but also the other elements of the budget note as well.
Comments, Mr. Greenfield.
Chair Morgan, Representative Smith, for the record, Vicki Fleming, Assistant Superintendent at the Oregon Department. As a condition of receiving our federal grants in every aspect of our work, we have an assurance around these civil rights compliance issues. We currently conduct on a regular cycle with each of those federal grant streams on-site reviews and ask districts a set of questions. So the tool that is referred to in the budget note actually exists and has never been fully executed in terms of a universal request for districts to do a self-assessment. So the work in terms of development of the tool is done. Under the requirements of No Child Left Behind, we will be anticipating that as districts look at the data around their disaggregated subgroups of and populations of students that represent different status, that some of these issues will come to surface and that we'll be engaged in those kinds of discussions anyway. So we are anticipating that this is something that, in fact, will be labor-intensive to do it well, and we'll be happy to come back and report to you as to what that will require of us.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Mike Greenfield, Deputy. As this budget note was being developed, I worked with Pat Burke and Steve Novick, and as we discussed the contents of the note, I asked for, and we removed several elements which I thought did contain additional workload, which would really, I think, be not fair or accurate to report to the committee that we could accomplish some of the things in some of the original thinking. And so I believe this, and I appreciate Representative Smith's view of the department getting this additional workload, but as Vicki mentioned, I think it's consistent with NCLB. There's many of the things we would be doing absent the budget note, and certainly Superintendent Castillo is supportive, and things on her agenda are consistent with this note. Appreciate it, Phil.
The other thing I would add, Madam Chair, is that in my view, the importance of this work and the urgency surrounding this work goes to our need to help our districts out there diminish their vulnerability to civil rights lawsuits. That's the crux of it. So this is something that we need to do so that we don't find ourselves paying out resources for other reasons because we have failed in some way to honor the civil rights of a student or a class of students.
Thank you.
I don't believe I've overstated the need.
Chair Morgan, Senator Gordley, I don't believe you've overstated that either, and I know that districts are very cooperative on the site visits that I've participated in. They are appreciative of the opportunity to reveal to themselves what areas they may need to focus in on for improvement with regard to that. So.
Thank you. Any further discussion on any of the budget notes? I would accept a motion to move the conceptual budget note into the list of budget notes.
So moved, Madam Chair.
I have the motion on the table. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is carried. Can I have a motion to accept the performance measures, ending balance review, and budget notes and have them incorporated into House Bill 5014?
So moved.
I have the motion. Is there discussion? Objection. Motion is carried. Can I have a motion to move House Bill 5014 as amended and conceptually amended to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation?
So moved.
Senator Gordley's made the motion. Is there objection to the motion?
Discussion.
Is there discussion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to, and this is reflecting on the discussion that we had on yesterday around the Oregon Pre-K program. I would just like to put on record some additional information and thoughts. There was a meeting late yesterday afternoon in the Senate President's office, attended by the President, Co-Chair Schrader, Superintendent Castillo, Mr. Greenfield, Vicki Fleming from the department, some of the Senate President's staff and staff from the Senate Democratic Caucus Office and myself. At that time, the superintendent argued vigorously against the $1 million reduction to Oregon Pre-K and argued vigorously against taking that reduction out of any other area of the department's programs, including TESA or the department's operating budget. And while I can accept the superintendent's arguments, and I do, which speak to not jeopardizing the department's initiatives under No Child Left Behind, I still believe and strongly that $1 million can be found elsewhere, if not in the Department of Education budget, to serve the poorest of the poor children. And I appreciate the Senate President's commitment, which I heard from him this morning, and the co-chair's commitment, Co-Chair Schrader's commitment, which I also heard this morning, to put this $1 million Oregon pre-K program on an add-back list as a top priority. Again, this was conveyed to me this morning. And with that said, I am willing to move on and to be in support of the budget before us. But I also want to say something about our process, and this is constructive criticism for all of us to hear and hopefully appreciate. We received the budget documents minutes before the start of our work session yesterday, meaning that there was no time for review and reflection. And I do not want to see this as criticism in any way of our staff, our legislative fiscal staff. Their work is superior, it is professional, it's outstanding, it's excellent, it's all of those things. It is the problem is that we keep putting unreasonable demands on our staff that result in our, that come out of, you know, what can be seen as the dysfunction of the process and some of the planning challenges that we have as a result of that. But these unreasonable demands that we place on staff often put us in the position of trying to make decisions on the fly, and that's not good, that's not healthy, and we need to say that, and we need to say it out loud at times. So I do want to be on record again. You've heard me make this comment and observation before as being in objection to and concerned about the unreasonable demands that we place on our staff as the process moves forward. And believe me, there's no acceptable excuse for how we do this and when we do this, and no acceptable justification in my mind. And I just think it speaks to our inadequacy around planning, and I think we need to own that, and we need to be thankful and appreciative that we have staff who put up with the conditions. Thank you.
I would just like to say during this discussion on the final motion, too, that Senator Gordley, I know how deep your commitment is to education in the state, and I think that it is absolutely beyond doubt that this is one of the pieces of yourself that is just so important. And I just want to say that I so much appreciate you're allowing this budget to go forward despite the misgivings that you have. And I want to just say that I very much appreciate the caring and the respect that you have for the students, all of the students that are in the education system. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. I will carry this in full and on the House floor. Senator Measurey, would you be so kind as to carry this on the Senate floor? Having no further business before the committee, the meeting is adjourned, and we will reconvene at the call of the chair.